Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written four books. My first book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Those of you that may be going through a situation in your life that may be wrapped with domestic violence, that book, From the Soul of a Woman.com, is my personal story and how I triumphed over a domestic violence situation. We was homeless and wound up rebuilding, reestablishing my life and raising my four children, putting them through college and living the life I live now. My second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. So many times people throw up your past before you, but the bottom line is you must forgive yourself in order to move on. And I always talk to individuals about ownership. You have to own your space, own where you are, so that way when individuals come before you and bring up your past, it's okay because you've already accepted it. You already took ownership of your part in with that lifestyle you were living in, so therefore it can't haunt you. My next book, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversity. That book I wrote in conjunction with Seth Joyner, who is a former NFL player, and he works with youth in repositioning their lives for greatness. Regardless of what background you came from, you have the opportunity and you have the ability to live your dreams. I also have two of my children that are in that book. My son talks about how he was able to go forward into higher education and actually wind up becoming a teacher when he wanted to drop out of school in the eighth grade. And my daughter, Stephanie, she actually bought her first home at 20 years old. So their stories are in that book, talking about how they were able to move on from adversities after being brought up in a home that was filled with domestic violence. And my new book, Unlimited Possibilities. I'm so excited about this book. I invite you to go to Amazon and you can download Unlimited Possibilities by Dr. Valerie N. Parker. And also you can go to my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and order a hard copy of that book if you would like to. And also I have other information on there. This month is Domestic Violence Month as well as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So, you know, domestic violence is part of my story. I am a survivor, and I'm so glad to be here on the airwaves with you and encouraging you to live your best life now. I have my co-host Shirley Carter on the line. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am also an entrepreneur and an author. Published my first book, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. My book is also available on Amazon.com in ebook format. And you can go to my website, ShirleyMCarter.com, and get a hard copy of it. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Shirley, thank you so much. I'm glad to hear your voice. I had the opportunity of witnessing my youngest sister's wedding this past weekend in New York. And I hadn't been in New York for 2 months, and I tell you, it was beautiful weather. See, I don't like going to New York in the winter because my bones just simply can't tolerate it. But it was beautiful weather there. The leaves had just started to turn. We went apple picking in upstate New York, and then the wedding was on Sunday. It was absolutely phenomenal. I'm so glad to be back home in Fort Lauderdale because right now Fort Lauderdale is home for me. There's no place like home. You know, you can visit your family and friends and stuff, but you're not, you know, at the end of the day, you want to sleep in your own bed. So, I am glad to be able to connect with you tonight. Now, Shirley, this is also Cancer Awareness Month, and you are a cancer, breast cancer survivor.
Yes, I am, a two-time survivor of breast cancer. And being that it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month and Domestic Violence, you know, Awareness Month, You know, we got the pink and the purple going on this month, which is a beautiful combination, but it represents survivors. Because when I look at being a cancer survivor, you're fighting. You're fighting for your life. Being a domestic violence survivor, you're also fighting for your life. So I salute both because of my survivorship of both as well. And Val, I'm telling you, it is becoming more and more prevalent that I'm beginning to see slowly, though, that people are starting to recognize the importance of domestic violence. And I feel somewhat disappointed that it's taken so long for it to begin to get any type of recognition as far as the level that it should be at, because it really affects everyone, just like breast cancer affects everyone. I don't know of one person on this earth that has not been touched in some way or another by either. So whether it be someone in your family, someone that you know, a coworker, or even just reading a newspaper or seeing something on the news about it. But there's always something or someone that has been affected by it. And being that I am a survivor of breast cancer 2 times, I'm actually personally now in Minnesota dealing with some residuals from my cancer treatment from back in 1995. You would think 18 years later that I would be in the category of beaten it, cured, no issues. But as a result of some of the treatment that I went through at the time, it has left me with issues that I'm still battling. So I say this to say to everyone, this is a breast cancer awareness month as well, but get to know your body. Learn to know the signs and the signals when there's something wrong with your body, because your body will give you warning signs. Heed those signs. Seek help. Don't stop until you get help. Don't just take the first words you get. Oh, don't worry about it, or no one else in your family had it. Don't worry about it. Your body will tell you when there's something wrong. And please, if you're listening, the men, if you know someone that has been complaining about any issues in the breast area, please encourage them to seek treatment, to seek testing to find out what is going on. And men, check yourself too, because men do get breast cancer, Val. There's a lot of men that don't get that in depth with their breasts. Well, men say their chest, but you still need to understand that you can get it too. It's not something that's common, but it happens.
Right. Last week we had Dr. Clarence Granich on the line last week on the show, and he is a medical doctor, and he talked about men being cancer survivors, breast cancer survivors, and I never really put too much thought to the fact that men could have breast cancer as well, but they can.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be the family. Yes.
Yeah, and you had also said that, you know, it's not practically not one home in America that has not been affected by cancer, someone that has cancer or been a victim of domestic violence. You know, there's so many levels of domestic violence, mental, physical, emotionally, sexual, and the list goes on. So, you know, unfortunately, somebody's been affected by one or all of these incidences and stuff. So, you know, the shows like this is also to inform and to enlighten individuals about the fact that they're not alone, because a lot of times people feel like they're the only ones going through a situation, and then they shut themselves out. I often say that people fail to go to the doctor because of fear. They're afraid of what they don't understand. And when they don't understand something, they'd rather not know. I know, you know, being raised with my father, he would be like, oh, I'm all right. Something was bothering. Oh, I'm all right. It ain't nothing. You know, it's just a simple thing, blah, blah, blah. He didn't put much thought into his body, what was going on, because he figured that anything that was going on, he could go to the gym, work it out, or, you know, stop eating a certain food. You know, we become professionals when it relates to our health. We become medical doctors. We become psychiatrists. You name it. Any kind of medical thing, we become experts. We become experts in making a shipwreck of our lives.
And, you know, because I think so often we get complacent and we're just looking for that positive response. We don't want to hear anything negative. We don't want to deal with that. It's just like we have so many other things to deal with. And I have to say, especially women, because we get to thinking about, well, who's going to take care of the kids? Who's going to take care of the house? Who's going to take care of my man? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And when it all boils down to it, if you are sick and on your back or 6 feet under, who's going to do it? Somebody's going to get done. But we are, you know, have to learn to start taking care of ourselves. I told a girlfriend of mine once, I told her, I said, you have to get selfish with your health. You have to do it, because if you don't get selfish with your health and start taking care of yourself, you're not going to be around here, not much longer.
Let me ask you this. What made you go get tested for breast cancer? Were there any warning signs that you could tell? Because I've been told that cancer is a silent killer.
There's warning signs. What happened in my case was I started having pain in my breast. And the pain was, you know, isolated in one area. And then I eventually felt a small lump. But the pain became so excruciating that it would even hurt to get a hug. And at night, one particular night, I'll never forget it, I was lying in bed, and it felt like someone stabbed me in my chest with a screwdriver and then just started to twist it. And I couldn't sit up. All I could do was roll out of the bed on my knees, and I started to pray. And I touched my breast in the area of the pain, and that's when I felt the lump. And I honestly said to God, I said, if it's your will for you to use me as an instrument, let it be. But I know I need to go get this checked out. And it was just like I already had a confirmation from him that it was breast cancer. I went to the doctor, had the mammogram done. I got a card in the mail, said it was clear, we'll see you in a year. And I said, no, if something is here. So I called for a follow-up appointment, even though I hadn't gotten a card, and I saw a nurse practitioner. She felt the lump, and she looked at the mammogram report. She said, I think you need to see the doctor. And when I saw the doctor, his first question to me was, did your mother have breast cancer? And I told him, no. And he said, well, I wouldn't worry about it. And I asked him, I said, can you feel what I'm feeling? And he said, yeah, but I wouldn't worry about it. It's small. It's probably nothing. I knew then that I could not trust this doctor. I didn't need to be under his care. So I told him, I need to go to someone who's willing to listen to me. So at the time, I had the type of insurance you needed a referral. So I told him, I need you to refer me out. He said, I can refer you to one of my colleagues. I said, no. I had no idea where I was going. I said, give me a phone book. And I got a phone book, and I start going through it. And I said, send me to this doctor. He's a surgeon. And he referred me. And within 3 weeks, I was in surgery and was diagnosed with breast cancer. Had I waited wow. another year for another mammogram, I don't even want to think
about wow.
that.
Wow,
so when I tell you that, you don't know, that's why I say know your body, learn your body. I'm not saying mammograms are bad. By all means, get them. But you need to do self-breast exams and know your body. It's not normal to have pain in your breast and lumps in your breast. You know, some people have cysts in their breast. Some people have what they say, fatty tissue. At least find out that that's what it is. Don't assume that that's what it is. Find out.
Yeah, because, you know, I said we become professional medical doctors when it comes to our own health, and then we call grandmama them and say, you know, ask for different remedies and things that to cure what we think is ailing us. But the bottom mm-hmm. line is a lot of times we are damaging our own health and even causing more harm because of the fact that we won't go and seek medical attention.
Right.
So the process of it all, Shirley, were you able to maneuver your way through the process? Because somebody may be listening right now to this show and saying, oh my goodness, I think something's wrong with me. How do they go? Where should they go to get checked out? Now, you were relentless in your efforts. You refused to just, you know, go with the flow. You insisted on further testing.
Yes. One thing, the first thing start, you know, if they've done a self-breast exam, get a mammogram. If you don't have insurance, there's programs. Some are through the Human Services Department in your city. I live in Michigan, so I'm not sure what state some of our listeners are in. But
yeah, social services and hospitals.
Yeah.
Susan B. Coleman has centers all over the U.S. where you can call and get free mammograms. And also also pap smears.
Yes. Contact them. And, you know, contact the American Cancer Society. There's resources out there that, you know, we don't hear a lot about. But if you start making those phone calls or going online, and Googling free pap smears, free breast exam, free mammograms in your area, you'll see different clinics and programs popping up, because all the money that you see so many breast cancer organizations, especially the large ones like the Coleman Foundation, and then there's the National Breast Cancer Organization, those people are collecting funds to put into smaller clinics and area things in your area to cover cases where there's someone that doesn't have the type of insurance they need. Now, when you go to these places, do not be afraid to talk to them and request further treatment or further resources, more resources to get the treatment that you need. But by all means, make sure you get a mammogram. In some areas, they have a program where they're doing ultrasounds of the breast, because sometimes the mammogram may miss something. So if you feel something in your breast, make sure you get a mammogram. But remember, a mammogram cannot diagnose cancer. So many people get that mistaken, thinking, okay, the mammogram says, no, it's not cancer, or yes, it is cancer. The only way you can really diagnose the cancer is have a biopsy. Now, they have different types of biopsy. They have a needle aspiration, which is done in the office, where they can actually insert a needle in there and pull cells out and take them to the pathology lab and run tests on them. And then there's the surgical biopsy, where they actually remove the mass or the lump or the bump or whatever you may have, and then run a path report on that. But know that a mammogram cannot diagnose cancer. It can see that, yes, there is a mass there. Yes, it looks like this or it looks like that. But to get a true diagnosis, it has to go through a pathology lab for them to diagnose what it is.
Okay. Now, some people have asked, well, can you get cancer, breast cancer, by your diet, by what you eat?
Well, one of the things that there's been studies done that your diet can help increase your chances, but know that your diet can't give you breast cancer. It only increases it because, honestly, every person walking around here has some type of cells in their body. Cancer is abnormal cells. We all have some abnormal cells. Sometimes those cells can activate and turn into cancer or some type of tumor or something like that. But most of the time it stays dormant. It doesn't do anything. But there are certain diets and everything that you can, like your eating habits or whatever, can help increase the chances of activating those bad cells in your body. So, but you can't, I won't say that it will cause you to have breast cancer, you know. I won't say that. Now, one of the things that I will say is that they talk about eating more food with antioxidants in and everything, which is something that your body naturally has, which can help you fight cancer and all of that. So those are things like that that are going, you know, that can be, people can look at, get a better diet, eat healthier. But they tell you that all the time, to eat healthier to help to prevent a lot of diseases, you know, to help build healthy cells. That's basically what it does when you watch your diet and do certain things like that. Yeah, but no, your diet will not cause you to have breast cancer.
Okay. What can you tell us about, what we talked about last week, prostate cancer with Dr. Stranich, and also we did Joel Gresham the week before then. So those of you that are listening, you can replay any of those shows on demand by, you know, going to the Blog Talk website, www.blogtalkradio.com/soultopics. For those of you that are calling in listening live, you can go to the website and download any one of those shows that give you more information. Now, Shirley, how was it going through cancer and taking the treatment? And because you were married at the time.
Yes, I was.
Discomforts and the challenges, because there are people are listening that are worried about their children in the process of going through treatment. So, you know, as crazy as it sounds, people would rather not go to the treatments because they say, you know, sometimes when you take chemo, it make you too sick. So they're like trying to wait it out, like it's going to just disappear. So could you talk about that, please?
In my case personally, going through the chemo, it was very hard. It was hard in many ways, not physically. It was hard emotionally. I was married, but my marriage was not a marriage of stability. And I say that because my husband I was married to at the time, he didn't understand why it happened to me. He became very angry and basically pulled back from the marriage. When I was going through my treatment, I didn't have his support at the treatment facilities. I would get dropped off at the curb and would go into the building and ride the elevator alone and sit through the 4 hours of chemo administration by myself with the remote control to watch television. And receiving chemo treatments every 21 days, it's like the first 10 days you're beat down where, you know, in my case, I can't say I've known other people to take treatments and not be beat down, but the form of chemo that I took, and you know that there's more than one type of chemo. There's a cocktail that they mix, and my cocktail that I selected was with Adriamycin, which is a very strong, potent drug. And I chose that form of treatment with Adriamycin because of my family history of breast cancer. I've had lost many relatives to breast cancer, so I decided to be very aggressive with my treatments, having a mastectomy and having chemo on top of that. In doing so, the chemo ended up damaging my heart, which caused some real severe damage that was irreversible. And taking those treatments and going through them, one thing I did learn in doing so is I learned to journal, to write a journal every day on how I felt. Because the first 10 days was so hard, I had to find a solution for me to help me emotionally and physically. Because after 10 days, that's when you slowly start to build back up. And then by the 18th day or somewhere in there, at the 15 to 18 days, you begin to feel like yourself again. But then you only have a few days, and then wham, you hit again with another treatment. So I had to find ways that where I could be able to tolerate the smell of food, even eating food. And by trial and error, I learned that if my food was cold, it from the refrigerator, I didn't have smell to make me sick, and tasting the food didn't make me sick. I also learned that after treatment, the first thing I needed to do was to make myself a milkshake, and that helped settle my stomach. One thing I learned that it helped coated my stomach because the chemo was burning the lining so bad in there that anything I ate was so sensitive that it, you know, I couldn't keep it down. So I started having milkshakes on a daily basis. That helped so much with the nausea and the vomiting. And it also helped me to be able to keep my strength up because that was the one thing I could take in and keep in to help me keep from losing weight and losing my strength. And one of the things I encourage people is that don't lose weight when you're taking chemo. Do whatever you
can to do. How can they control that?
How can they control that?
How can they control not losing weight? Because it's a difficult time, so you're thinking. If you're anything like me, I could think and lose weight. It'll just drop off.
And that's why you do things like what I'm saying about as far as don't stop eating. Eat things that are high in calorie. Fatty things, other things you would think, oh, there's too many calories in it. That's what you need. Because with the weight and keeping the weight, maintaining your weight and not losing or even gaining a little weight during chemo, it helps the chemo work better. Because the chemo kills bad cells and good cells. In order for you to keep your strength up and to be able to help, it's like a combination to make the chemo work better. If there's some fatty cells there and everything, it'll help protect. The fat will help protect the good cells. And so with the chemo killing off so much, and especially the bad cell and getting to some of the good cell, if you got extra fat or extra weight, it'll help you. You tend to handle the chemo better. You have less moments of where it breaks down your white cell count And it helps you also maintain your resistance, because when your resistance gets so low, then you're perceptible to any disease. If someone sneezes, you don't get a cold, you get the flu. And if you get the flu, 9 times out of 10, it's going to turn into pneumonia. And then you're in the hospital, and then you're exposed to more germs and more chances of getting sicker, or you become to a point where your cell count drops so low that you end up have to take injections daily to help build you up. And if you get so low, then they have to put you in quarantine where you're isolated from everything, and everyone got to wear a mask to come in to see you, because any little thing can give you an infection, and you don't want to get an infection on chemo.
Wow.
They would have to stop your chemo.
Wow. And exactly what is chemo?
Chemo is a cocktail mixture of drugs. It's a chemical. It's not a commercial chemical like that.
Is it an injection that you have to take?
Yes, it is. It's injection. What I used to see, can you picture a 16-ounce bottle? But think of it to be about the shape, the size of maybe a quarter or 50-cent piece, but the tube is at least six to eight inches long. And that is filled with a cocktail mix, they call it, of orange medication where they slowly, and has to be administered slowly. That's why you're there so long. It takes about 4 hours to get a full treatment of chemo, because it goes in through your veins, and a lot of times people will get some type of like a port, and it has to go in through a main vein, a big vein, because the medication is so strong it can blow your veins. And it has to be a very slow injection, and they inject this into your system. It goes to your bloodstream. So it's what you call a quick reaction in your body. You can, I know I would sit there and I could feel it going in. My whole inside would start to heat up. It's like burning all the bad cells, but also burning off the good ones too.
Okay, I used to think that chemo was radiation treatment.
The radiation treatment is different. Radiation treatments are more of a, what you say, like an, it's like a heat, like a radiation in that area. They're more locally, wherever your cancer was at. And you're going to these for these treatments, and they have this. It's almost like a big magnet over you, and it keeps penetrating that area, sending radioactive waves in there. So you don't physically see them, but you feel it, and that's why some people get burned. Their skins get burned from radiation treatment. Sometimes it's so bad that it hurts to touch it. So I opt not to take that route and to just go with chemo and the mastectomy.
Is that a preferred choice for a lot of people or not really?
Not really. It's more, but some people have to take radiation and chemo. It depends. There's several things. It depends on the type of cancer. A lot of people don't understand that there's more than one type of breast cancer. When they hear breast cancer, they just go, okay, it's breast cancer. No, there are several forms of breast cancer. It depends on your receptors, negative and positive receptors. It depends on... there's a cell count, see what phase is it, what size is the cancer, how aggressive it is, what stage you're in. there's many factors that come into the picture when they decide on your treatment. Everything from any previous cancers, what other types of illness have you had, what is your family history, and in other treatments and illness that someone else has had in your family. Can you take radiation? Can you take this chemo? I see a lot of that, they have to take that cancer cell out of you, that cancer out, they have to dissect it. And when I say dissect it, I mean they cut it into pieces and they run tests on, okay, let's first of all measure what size, okay, what stage, what type, what are the S phases, are the receptors negative or positive? See, all of that stuff, they put all of that together and they come up with a treatment plan. Okay, for this patient, she's got negative receptors, chemo won't do. Or she got positive, chemo won't do. We need to give her something for this. And then afterward, can we give her, they got so many other drugs that they can give you now besides chemo, but can your body take them because of, you know, what type of cancer was it? And I have to say, in my case, my S phases were high, which told them my cancer was very aggressive. So with it being aggressive, I needed to be aggressive. So I could have went with radiation, but if I wanted to immediately get right to the point, then I needed to go with the chemo. And then also with my receptors being negative, then the drug like Tamoxifen and the one that they can give you, they got a new one out too, where you could take the pill for 5 years. I wasn't a candidate
take
for that.
Take the pill for 5 years?
5 years. I wasn't a candidate for that. Because, see,
okay,
when they look at my profile of the cancer that I had.
Okay, so the pill that you take for 5 years is for strictly for those individuals that are diagnosed that have cancer.
Right. There's one called Herpeson, and there's one with Tamoxifen. They had two of them. You can be on that drug for 5 years, and that's a form of chemo. That's a form of treatment for you. It's an appeal form. But, again, with the receptors being negative, that means I could not take any pill that was hormone-based, and which that pill is. So that wasn't an option for me.
Wow. Okay, so the bottom line is there's several options about it, but we have to take the first step and go in and get ourselves checked out to for preventative care. What if someone is a caregiver for someone who is suffering with cancer at this moment? What are some of the things that are strategic and key that you would recommend for an individual that's a caregiver right now?
One of the things I would say, and being a caregiver or someone, encourage that person to journal. I can't stress that enough, because that is something that the caregiver will have a better understanding on how to deal with the patient that is going through. And being that, you know, if you're helping someone that has, you know, going through treatment and everything, by them journaling, it'll help you know what makes them feel better, what makes them, you know, physically and emotionally in a better state of mind. By all means, don't pity that person. We, you know, when I was going through my treatments and everything, that was the last thing I needed was someone to come, oh, I'm so sorry. Ooh. No. I don't want to be pulled into the negative part of it. Do uplifting things with them. If it's a good day, then do good things. Do normal things with them. Because the point is you want to remain strong emotionally and physically. And the emotional part plays such a huge part in your physical state and your being. Because it's true about mind over matter. If you can get the mind into sync of being positive, being around positive people, you don't need negative people around you pulling you down or saying negative things or coming with the pity face. You need positive thinkers. You need the ones who are going to fight with you emotionally and physically, and the ones who are going to treat you like you're a whole person, not half a person. And in my experience, I had some people pull back from me. It was almost like they thought I was contagious or something, or I can't be her friend anymore. I can't be around her because she's sick. I don't want to get sick. Cancer is not contagious.
But I'm glad you connected that. That was going to be my next question to you, was is it contagious? Because, you know, when it was like how in the Bible days when you heard someone had leopard, they were put into a cave. And that's how it was when people were diagnosed with cancer. Everyone thought it was contagious, and they were, like, you know, hiding and ducking, and, you know, windows were drawn. People stayed in dark houses because of the fact that they were diagnosed with cancer. And like I said, we fear what we don't understand or we know.
Right. But it is not contagious. And someone that's suffering with cancer, do not want you to look at them with a pity eye. Look at them with a smile and say, what you doing today? Okay, how you feeling? You feel like doing this? Okay, but then, you know, they, oh, I don't feel like it. But, oh, no, we're not going to get on the pity pot. Come on, let's do something. You know, even if we watch a movie, something funny, laughter is good for the soul. If you can get them to laugh and everything, even better.
Yeah, because I know that even when you're going through regular illnesses and, you know, you just sometimes don't feel like it, and then you get, again, you get the people that are looking at you, pointing fingers, just like when AIDS was a huge epidemic, but people didn't understand or know about that. You know, it caused a rift in the community because of fear.
Right. And that is a big thing. A lot of people are fearful. They don't know how to approach someone that has cancer because it's almost like they don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't want to make them feel worse. But that's why I say just continue to be yourself.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Shirley. I'm going to open up the lines for those individuals that have questions or comments. Hold on here. Caller 6477, are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
This is Sylvia Donovan. Hello, can
Hi,
you hear
Sylvia.
Me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, Sylvia, you have an organization called Celebrating Life, which deals with cancer survivors. Can you tell the audience about that?
Well, and I think I was listening to one of the comments that Shirley made about laughter, and one of the things that I found out over almost two decades of dealing with minority women that are breast cancer survivors, I've seen women that have been successful in surviving when the doctor said it was too late. And I've seen people that didn't survive when they had what seemed to be a great prognosis. And one of the core elements seems to be their desire to live, that tenacity, that human spirit that defies odds. One of the ladies that comes to mind is a woman that was given 6 months to live, and it was like 33 years that she survived after that point.
Wow. And that's why the organization does to reach out to individuals like that to encourage them?
Well, our purpose is to deal with education, empower, and enrichment. My major focus is minority women that are breast cancer survivors and women that are underserved, because when you deal with the financial factor, cancer becomes the same when people are looking for options for service or options for support. And one of the things that we found is that women that have a stronger desire are have a reason to live, sometimes that provokes them beyond what would seem to be the normal statistics.
Wow, you just had a walk last week, or was it the week before? Actually, it was my birthday. You had a walk.
Right. It was it was on October 5th. It was our 12th Sister to Sister Fitness Festival. And the reason we developed the Sister to Sister Fitness Festival was to not only just deal with breast cancer awareness, but to help to embrace the community when it came to overall wellness. We have people that deal with fitness and training, and we have free mammograms for women that don't have insurance. We have cooking demos from different chefs that help to incorporate vegetables and things like that into our diet. One of the chefs that was at our event this past year was also on MasterChef Season 2, and she did a collard green cocktail with a cornbread sauce, which was really, really cool. So just showing people how you can do some traditional recipes and decrease the fat in your diet.
You said collard green cocktail?
Yes.
So green leafy vegetables are a defense against cancer cells?
Vegetables in itself, vegetables, your fruit and vegetables. The American Cancer Society recommends for all forms of cancer that you get at least 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. So any way that we can increase the fruit and vegetables in our diet, and also traditionally I'm sure you're aware that we tend to use fatty things to add to our vegetables, but there are different things that you can add, like turkey, as opposed to the smoked pork and ham hocks and things like that.
What, no ham hocks?
No, Val, no.
No, okay. But I brought that up too because we were talking about the diet. You know, it can cancer be prevented by simply changing our eating habits?
Go
ahead, sis.
No, go ahead. You had interjected. Go ahead.
No, I just told her, you know, your diet can't cause it, but it can help, you know, if your diet can help increase it or it can help prevent it. So, but it's not the cause of cancer. So what is your take on that, Sylvia?
Is that you can be proactive with your diet to help decrease your risk factors of getting cancer. And then also, even if you have cancer, you can be proactive with your diet to help boost up your immune system that will help your ability to survive it better. And even if you're going through treatment, it will help to enhance your body's ability to endure the treatment you may have, whether that be chemotherapy or some other advanced therapy that you may have to take to after your surgery. I've had subjects that were re-diagnosed with breast cancer and had to go through chemo again and did high vegetable diets that helped them to endure the treatment that they had to go through.
Mm. Now, your organization, Celebrating Life, what prompted you to formulate this movement that you've created? And because you're not a survivor yourself.
That's correct. I got involved with breast cancer after my aunt was given a terminal diagnosis with breast cancer. And it was around the same time that Whitney Ripperton had passed. But at that point, when I started talking to women about breast cancer, everybody I ran into was not from our community. So I still had this false sense of security that the disease had really passed us by. And keep in mind, this was about almost 20 years ago. But after my aunt was given a terminal diagnosis and I really started looking at the disease and talking to more people, I started finding out that everyone I talked to knew somebody that had breast cancer. It was my aunt had breast cancer, my mother had breast cancer, my sister had breast cancer. And to my shock, some of the people were like, I've had breast cancer, people that I knew that had never shared it with me. So at that point, I began to find out that we had such a code of silence in our community. One lady told me that her stepmother was a survivor, and she never knew it until she was diagnosed. So those kind of things that people, you know, we just weren't talking about. Now people are more open, and the awareness is there, but still there's a level of proactiveness that I think that we need in our community. The main thing is realizing that breast cancer does not have to be a death sentence. And early detection is the answer in so many aspects because, number one, the earlier you detect it, the more options you have. The earlier you detect it, the better chance of your survivorship are.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I have some callers holding, so if you guys would hold the line. Sylvia Donovan from Celebrating Life and co-host Shirley Carter. Okay, caller 2230, you're live.
I am so grateful for this and this experience this evening because you never really hear this from a woman's point of view. I'm a man that's listening hard, and I've lost a good friend in her early 20s through breast cancer. I didn't understand it back then, but but I understand a lot now because you all have taught me a lot. And I know that men catch breast cancer as well, you know, like Montel Williams had it.
Wow,
but every time
I
think about, he had breast cancer and had surgery behind it and everything. You know, I often think about a story that I read in one of Abigail Adams. She was in one of her letters. She published some 1,200 letters between her and her husband. She was the second First Lady of the United States, and she suffered from cancer, breast cancer as well. And I often think about the description of the surgery that she had there, and one of the doctors had written a note saying how brave she was because back then they didn't have the anesthesia that they have today. And they offered her a drink or two, and she refused it, and the doctor said he was just totally amazed how she laid back, and she said, remove both of them. You know, and I just think that she was such a brave, I just couldn't imagine going through something like that, you know, and being awake. And the doctor wrote in his notes that she never whimpered at all during the entire surgery. And that must have been a horrific experience. But besides that, I know that women think of their breast as the thing that defines them. My wife often talks about that, and she talks about her going into menopause, and you know, if she loses her period, that's her womanhood. But I'm here to tell you all, as a man, and I'll close by saying this, as a man, that it is not the breast that makes the woman. It's the kind touch of a hand on your head when you are just feeling down. The kind, soft touch of a woman being there and telling you that you're greater than what you really are, that you're smarter than what you really are, that's what makes a woman to me.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that information. I'm happy and glad because I know that there's some women on the line that were worried about, you know, going through procedures such as this and the removal of the breasts and what would a man think if they were found out that they didn't have their breasts original breast due to breast cancer. So thank you so much for sharing that information and giving some insight.
I appreciate and love you, Val. Thank you so much for tonight's show.
Okay. Caller. There's a caller holding 2175. You are live.
Hi, this is Marie. I wanted to talk about the Obamacare, and the name of it is Get Covered America.
Okay.
Your health, your choice. And they have an office now that's in Pompano Beach. I don't have the address, but the person, telephone number, her name is Yancy, and the number is 954-540-6998. Yancy might just be on because she said that she could be on at 8:30. So I don't know whether she's there or not. But that's her number
okay.
that you can call. And this is for coverage.
Okay, thank you so much. It's good to know that there are information and centers out there where you can get help for situations as far as health. And, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about Obamacare, and people had several questions about it. How will it affect them? What about if they didn't have any money to pay for insurance? What about if they get diagnosed with cancer or something? How will they get covered? So thank you so much for sharing that information. Sylvia, we're almost out of time, and I thank you so much for joining in and giving some information regarding Celebrating Life. How can people find out about you in different areas that you will be servicing with your organization?
They can go to our website at www.celebratinglife.org. They can email me at clf@airmail.net. Either way, they will be able to reach me. We have a photo exhibit that is currently at the African American Museum here in Dallas, and we're looking at having that travel across the country. So they're great opportunities for us to definitely be in some of the areas that your listeners are in now. But I did want to add one of the things that the gentleman talked about, women feeling that their femininity was connected to their breasts. When I first got involved with breast cancer, I saw a documentary done on a Hispanic woman who had a large breast, double F, such as that of Dolly Parton. And she actually died because she would not allow them to do the surgery because she felt so defined by her breast. And that was just like an eye-opener for me. And then I talked to a very dear family member of mine, and I found out that she felt exactly the same way. She said, if I had breast cancer, I would just have to die. There's no way I would let anybody remove my breast.
Wow. Wow, thank you so much for that information, Sylvia Dunovit, for Celebrating Life. Shirley, any closing remarks? Give them your information on how they may contact you and you about your foundation, Against All Odds.
My organization is Against All Odds, and it's a nonprofit organization for breast cancer survivors and their families. And they can contact me at shirleymcarter.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. They can also email me at aaof99@yahoo.com. That's my Against All Odds Foundation email address. And shirleymcarter99@yahoo.com.
Thank you so much for that information. And once again, listening audience, download this show, forward it to someone because there was some great information. And please make sure you connect with Shirley Carter and Sylvia Dunovan. And you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com if you did not get their information or if you don't have means of downloading the show. Once again, thank you for joining another Hot Topics from the Soul, and I invite you to visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Until next Tuesday, be blessed. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Val, so much. Thank you, Val. Good night.